We begin with longtime Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue, who announced yesterday he is planning to retire in December after a 25-year career in Chapel Hill, including 12 years as Chief of Police. Blue was appointed Chief in December of 2010. During his tenure, he led town planning for 3 Final Four celebrations, a dozen Halloweens, and countless demonstrations, and he led successful investigations into the murder of Faith Hedgepeth in 2012 and the killing of 3 Muslim college students at Finley Forest in 2015. In a statement, Chief Blue said, quote, "It has truly been an honor to serve as a police officer in my hometown for all these years. The next chief will be taking over the most progressive and innovative law enforcement agency in the state, and I'm excited to see what's next." The process of hiring Blue's replacement will get underway soon. Among Chief Blue's accomplishments was an expansion of the department's renowned crisis unit, which has been sending mental health experts on police calls since 1973. As it happens, Chapel Hill is getting a chance to celebrate the crisis unit at a conference at the Carolina Inn, which is going on even as we speak. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has more on the National Co-Responder Conference.
As more and more discussions of public safety have happened in recent decades, it's become clear on a national level a police response is not always the best response for a call or case. That's something Chapel Hill Police Chief Chris Blue acknowledges. It's why he says he's proud of the department's crisis unit, which often involves co-response.
We talk about co-responding. We talk about clinicians, social workers responding with law enforcement, sometimes instead of law enforcement or taking over for law enforcement when people are in crisis. Since 1973 in this community, we have known that plenty of calls coming to 911 really are not best served by law enforcement.
Chapel Hill developed its own crisis unit in 1973, with former Mayor Howard Lee being a major advocate for that project. Introducing human services workers into the police response means trained professionals are there to help in mental health crises, domestic violence cases, runaway children cases, or even the treatment of traumatized victims of other crimes. Now, Blue estimates the Chapel Hill co-responding crisis team gets called to cases a dozen times a day.
Well, we've got 6 people right now. We're always trying to grow it. Council was nice enough to add a position last year for us. And we've actually just reclassified another position in our organization into the crisis unit. We've been kind of blazing the trail for a long time in that regard.
A key aspect of co-responding is making sure the person in crisis not only stays safe, but is connected to the right local resources. Blue said to help with that, the crisis unit aims to have employees who can relate to the subject and convey the best path forward. Since Orange County has several helpful resources, Chapel Hill's co-responding techniques stress finding ways to divert people from the criminal justice system into places tailored for the people's needs. Blue said doing this is a win for everyone involved.
And it's consistent with a more holistic approach to community safety. Well, to get folks to take advantage of those many resources we have in our community, sometimes it's a little bit of a sales job and a rapport building job. And so folks who have had that experience themselves, we think will be able to speak in a unique and experienced way with the folks who need it the most.
Blue also said it's not just those who need help that benefit from the crisis unit in Chapel Hill. His police officers do too.
You've heard me brag on our employees many, many times. They do tough, important, difficult work in a special way, in the Chapel Hill way. And I believe that that is very much influenced by the presence of our crisis unit within our organization. Our officers simply think about problem solving differently. They think about how they might respond differently. They pick up techniques and ways of engaging from their crisis unit colleagues that I think make them outstanding law enforcement professionals.
So, what is in store for the national conference? A packed agenda with keynote speakers, workshops, panels, and breakout sessions at the Carolina Inn, ranging from co-responder case management to topics as specific as cognitive behavioral therapy. Law enforcement leaders from across the U.S. will hear about the many angles of the co-response model. Blue said he believes police departments just beginning to explore that model will be best served by this week's gathering, including several panels hosted by Chapel Hill employees.
Particularly for organizations that are maybe just going down this road of starting this kind of program. I mean, there are legal considerations and there'll be a session. In fact, our senior legal advisor will be leading a session on legal considerations of the co-responder model. What does that look like in your organization from a policy point of view and that kind of thing? We're really excited about it and proud that our community gets to host.
To learn more about Chapel Hill's Crisis Unit or about the National Co-Responder Conference, head to chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Staying with law enforcement, we turn now to the recent spate of mass shootings across the nation, a string of tragedies that has Americans asking what can be done. I spoke recently with Orange County Sheriff Charles Blackwood, who serves as vice chair for the Governor's Crime Commission. He said there are steps to be taken that could prevent future tragedies, including stronger gun laws.
We got to do something different. We keep going back to we have laws, we have gun laws, we have great gun laws. Problem is, the folks who follow the great gun laws are not the ones we're having to deal with right now. People can scream and shout that it's not a mental health issue. It is a mental health issue. It is a mental health issue when a young man or a young woman picks up a high-capacity magazine firearm and goes into school and shoots children in the face. That's a mental health issue. Whether it be meanness, whether it be criminal intent, it's a mental health issue. It was a mental decision that they had to do that, and it ain't healthy. That's mental health. Now, what do we do about it? We've talked with the legislators. We've got a bipartisan conversation going on right now. There has got to be a come together of police officers, police chiefs, sheriffs to say we need to look at things differently than we've been looking at them. We need to agree that 21 years old is probably a good age to require people to be before they purchase a firearm. That doesn't mean that an 18-year-old can't receive a firearm from their father or whatever for Christmas, but they can't go out and buy it on a Friday afternoon and go shoot up a school that afternoon after they bought it.
That's Orange County Sheriff Charles Blackwood speaking there. Part of a longer conversation. You can listen to it in full in the This Morning with Aaron Keck section of our website, chapelboro.com. Other local government news, the Carrboro Town Council meets tonight at 7 in Town Hall with a very big vote on the agenda. First, newly elected council member Eleazar Posada will be sworn in. Then the council will take a vote to adopt the Carrboro Connects Comprehensive Plan that will guide town planning for the next 20 years. Council will also hear from the public on next year's budget and consider issuing a special use permit to allow the Art Center to move to a new building on Roberson Street. Orange County commissioners also meet tonight at 7 in the Witted Building in Hillsborough. Their agenda includes a discussion of the county's Manufactured Homes Action Plan. Get links to both agendas on our website, chapelboro.com. Finally, in Raleigh, the state Senate officially signed off yesterday on a bill that would legalize medical marijuana in North Carolina. That bill now heads to the state House, where Speaker Tim Moore says the issue may wait until next year. The Senate also approved a pair of bipartisan bills to crack down on arson and retail theft. Those also head to the House. And in the executive branch, Governor Roy Cooper yesterday issued an executive order granting cabinet-level state employees an extra day of paid leave to observe a day of personal significance. That could include days like Juneteenth, Diwali, or Rosh Hashanah, none of which are currently paid holidays. Head to our website, chapelboro.com, to get more local news, including a $58 million federal grant to develop a high-speed rail line connecting Raleigh with Richmond and the rest of the Northeast Corridor. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Olmaz Jewelers. Carolina baseball is on to the NCAA Super Regional after knocking off VCU last night 7-3. Carolina jumped out to a big lead early with four runs in the first inning, keyed by this homer from Mikey Madey.
And he hits from the right side against the lefty Davis.
First pitch served up and driven high. Down the line towards left, sailing and disappearing into the sky and out of here.
It's Dave Nathan on the call from the Tar Heel Sports Network. Another home run from Danny Ceretti in the fourth inning made it 7-1. Tar Heels cruised from there. With a closer look at last night's win, 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe.
The Diamond Heels are moving on to the Super Regionals of the NCAA tournament, and they did it the hard way. After falling into the loser's bracket with a loss to VCU Saturday night, Carolina won its third game in 2 days and second over the Rams Monday night to advance through to the next round. It's the first time the Tar Heels have advanced to the Super Regionals out of the loser's bracket since the tournament format was introduced in 1999. UNC head coach Scott Forbes, back with the team after serving a 2-game suspension for arguing calls, found himself in an unfamiliar position after Monday's game. Speechless.
My girls are probably telling me it's the first time, kind of lost for words, honestly. Look at this club. I reflect back on eating dinner in Charlottesville when we got walked off. And to see the joy on these guys' face today is, you know, after where we were, it's really unbelievable, but it's a credit to them because I saw it in the fall.
The Tar Heels used a 4-run top of the first inning to take the lead and never look back. A 3-run home run from Mikey Madei, just his 4th of the season, followed an RBI single from Alberto Osuna and fired the Carolina crowd up early. Madei batted 9-for-24 with 8 RBI in the Chapel Hill Regional and was named Most Outstanding Player. The Tar Heels are now one of 16 teams competing for the national championship, just a month and a half after sitting at 23-17 and off the NCAA tournament bubble. Carolina will enter next weekend 42-20, having won 19 of 22 games, and thanks to Arkansas upsetting number 7 overall seed Oklahoma State, the Tar Heels will host a Super Regional at Boschhammer Stadium. But regardless of opponent, the team is confident it can get back to the College World Series for the first time since 2018.
You know, to be honest with this group, I told myself, you know, we even talked about like, yeah, we'd love to host. We're going to pull for Arkansas to host. But with this team, you know, the road's going to be the road, and nothing will surprise me with them.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
As it happens, Arkansas's win over Oklahoma State yesterday was by the exact same score, 7-3. Carolina will host the best of 3 series this weekend at Boschhammer Stadium. Dates and times still yet to be announced, but we'll have all the action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. We'll keep you updated on the schedule, too. Elsewhere in sports, individual honors for several Tar Heels, past, present, and future. In men's golf, congrats to Tar Heel senior Ryan Girard. He just qualified for the U.S. Open in a qualifying event in Florida yesterday. In women's tennis, Cameron Mora won Senior of the Year honors from the Carolina region from the ITA, and Brian Kalbas won Coach of the Year. On the men's side, UNC's Brian Cernok was named as the region's most improved senior. As to the future, a pair of incoming Tar Heel basketball stars are in Mexico this week, playing for the under-18 U.S. national team. Seth Trimble and Gigi Jackson are playing for Team USA in the under-18 Americas Championship in Tijuana. The top 4 teams there advance to next year's World Cup. And finally, one former Tar Heel just got a big honor, too. Football legend Julius Peppers has been named to the ballot for the College Football Hall of Fame, Class of 2023. Inductees will be announced early next year.